Mark chapter 1. And I appreciate that song we just sung. You know, the truth is, one of these days we are all going to get to heaven, and we are all going to be able to worship Him in fullness. And we're not going to be limited by this flesh anymore. We're not going to be limited by the all the restraints of the flesh. And that's going to be a great day. It's going to be a tremendous day. Amen. We won't get tired. Amen. And we'll just be able to worship Him, and that it'll be a great time. I'm looking forward to that. Amen. I want to say this real quick, too, while I'm thinking about it, before I forget. So somebody remind me, particularly my wife, or anybody else, rather, before we leave, when we are done with this, when I'm done preaching, which I'm not going to preach long, and I've told her the lies, too, but I'm not going to preach long, but I want all of us to get a picture together before we leave, all right? And so we may have to stack something up in the aisle. We'll all kind of either gather right here in front of the pulpit, or maybe kind of gather up all around the pulpit here or something and just have a big group picture before we leave. And so we may have to stack up somebody's phone and prop it up on the in the aisle and set a timer, and somebody push the button and run and jump in the picture or something. We'll get Brother Ernest to do that. He can push the button and take off running and jump in the picture real quick, you know. And so, anyways, I've actually been wanting to do that for a long time. All the church get together and have a picture together, but it's so hard to catch everybody here at the same time. And so I've just decided we're just going to have to do it, you know. And so, anyways, so remind me. Don't let me forget to do that, okay? All right, let's get into the message this morning, or this afternoon, rather. And this really is kind of on the heels of what we preached this morning. and you'll maybe kind of see what I'm talking about here in just a second. The invitation this morning, the message this morning, you know, really was regarding that, you know, of all the things going on in our country and in the world and everything with our leaders, our political leaders, you know, the very least we could do would be to pray for them, you know, to pray and seek God for them. And I actually preached this message in the jail here a few weeks ago. And the Lord has just really still had this message on my heart. And I intended on just preaching it there, and that being the only time I ever preached it, and then just moving on. But the Lord just kept bringing this thought back to my heart and helping my heart with this thing and convicting me over it. And I really felt led to preach this here for this afternoon service, particularly on the heels of the message this morning. And so if you'll look with me in Mark chapter 1, look in verse number 35. It says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." I want to preach just for a few moments, and I'm serious about that, just for a few minutes this morning, just to kind of maybe stir us and pray that the Lord will use this this little message here regarding an area of our life that not one person here this afternoon doesn't probably struggle with. If I ask for a show of hands, I doubt any of us would not be able to have to lift our hand and say, "Brother Jacob, I really feel like I struggle in my prayer life. I don't pray enough." And so I pray, Lord, to help us really in dealing with our prayer life. So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for all the blessings and for letting us be together. Thank you for the good meal and the good service this morning. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be together one more time and for your word. I pray that you'll bless it. I pray that you'd give me the words to say. Help us, Lord, to receive from you what you'd have us to receive, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. One message that that I heard here not long, too terribly long ago, it was back in January whenever I was up in North Carolina preaching in a camp meeting up there. Brother Gravely preached a message, last message of that camp meeting. And he preached a message that has really stuck with me, and I guess in one sense has changed my life, at least in this area. I think probably all of us have heard so much preaching through our lives, and thank the Lord for that, by the way. It's a lot to give an account to. But let's just be honest. I mean, none of us can really remember all the preaching that we've heard. We can really only remember probably a portion, a small portion of the preaching that we've heard. And it started dawning on me how much little preaching we retain sometimes, and how little I even retain sometimes. Whenever sometimes a preacher will ask me what I preached the previous Sunday, and even I have to think about, what did I preach this past Sunday? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just, there's just so much. And we hear so much, and it's good preaching, and thank the Lord for it, but we just don't get all of it. But every now and then, we can probably all think back to a message that we've heard down through our life that's just always stuck with us. And for a lot of us, there may be a handful of messages that are that way, that God just really seemed to just burn in our heart, and it's always stuck with us, and we just can't get past it. And the message, one of those messages for me, was this message I just heard this past January in that camp meeting. Brother Gravely preached out of this very verse, Mark 1:35, and he preached a message on the prayer life of the preacher. The prayer life of the preacher. And what we see here in this passage, this verse, is talking about Jesus. And he's talking about, you know, this man who's getting up early in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, the Bible says. He goes out, he departs in a solitary place, and it just simply says, and there he prayed. He prayed. And talking about, you know, in him preaching that message on the prayer life of a preacher, one thing he said was, you know, Jesus was a tremendous preacher, was he not? I mean, the greatest preacher that's ever lived, ever walked the earth, would have to be Jesus Christ. He's God. And so when he preached, people listened, and everything that he said, I mean, he wasn't just preaching the Word of God. He was the Word of God. I mean, he is the Word of God. Everything he said was the Word of God. And so, there's not a better preacher. What a tremendous preacher Jesus is. But here in this passage, the very first chapter of the Gospel of Mark that follows and documents his life and ministry on earth, the very first chapter, before we ever see him preaching, what we see in this verse is him and he's praying. And the truth is, the fact is that preaching has little or no effect at all if we are not praying. A preacher that has not stealed away somewhere and prayed and gotten alone with God and gotten a touch from God and heard from the Lord, his preaching is not going to be very effective. Now, it may stir a crowd. And he may tell emotional stories, and he may be very gifted and be able to stir people into maybe making a decision or even responding. I mean, so many preachers, even in our circle and even in independent Baptist churches and at meetings, I mean, they use psychology and use stirring stories and illustrations that will stir people and get them to respond and get them to cry and do all these things. And so from that aspect, people would say, oh, he's a great preacher. But the truth is, preaching has little or no eternal effect without praying. And the thing is, nothing that we do as God's people, as a saved child of God, or as a church, anything we do for God will have little or no effect if we don't pray. Brother Jamie preached in our Bible conference this year talking about how we've got everything but the power of God. And we're like the church of Ephesus. Ephesus had everything right in Revelation 2, yet Jesus said, I've got one thing against thee. You've left your first love. In other words, they were doing everything right, going through all the right motions with the right Bible and the right hymns and the right style of worship, but they had left their first love. They had everything but the power of God. And that's where we are now. You know where power comes from? Power comes from prayer. We are empowered and we draw nigh to God and we hear from God and God works and God moves through our prayer lives. And all of us need a prayer life. We've got to have a prayer life. And so I want to give you just a few simple thoughts out of this verse helping us that would maybe instruct us in our prayer life. First of all, we notice the person praying here. The person that is praying in Mark 1:35 is none other than Jesus Christ. It's the lily of the valley. It's the rose of Sharon. It's the lion of the tribe of Judah. This is the great I Am. This is all the fullness of the Godhead. dwelling in this body. That's what the Bible says. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so in that man, as He walked this earth in human flesh, within Him, enveloped in Him is all the fullness of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Creator and Sustainer of the universe. All of it was in that body. And yet we see that man praying. We see Jesus Christ praying. Now, I would say this. If He needed to pray, how much more do we need to pray? If Jesus would steal away into a solitary place and get alone with the Father, how much more do we need to do that? See, Jesus, He only ever did the Father's will. That's all He ever did. Every move He made, every word He spake, every decision He made, everything Jesus did, it was always the Father's will. He never did anything out of the Father's will, yet He prayed. And if Jesus would need to pray, how much more do you and I need to pray? We see the person praying. But then, notice the passion in His praying. The Bible says He rose up a great while before day. That's a great while, many hours or a long time before the sun was even up. When it was still dark outside and the crickets were still chirping and everybody was still sleeping and there were no headlights on the roads and there was no businesses were open and nothing was going. It was still and it was dark and it was quiet. It was a great while before day that He rose up to pray. Now getting up early, this early like He did, so early in the morning, getting up this early in the morning, it shows His passion for prayer. He was passionate about praying. He was passionate about getting alone with the Father. He found it so needful in His life that He was willing to sacrifice the sleep and put in the effort to get out and get alone early in the morning with no distractions, no one that needed to be healed, no demons that needed to be cast out of anybody, no one tugging at Him needing something. No, He found that time and carved out that time in His life to make sure He was able to do it because He was passionate about it. And because He was passionate, He was willing to put forth the effort. And I want you to know that if you and me, if we are going to have a prayer life, not if we're going to pray. I'm not talking about praying over our meals three times a day. I'm not talking about, you know, Lord, lay me down to sleep, you know, in Thy hands, you know, I commit my soul to keep. Or however you know, those little sing-songy prayers are. God is great, God is good, let us sing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having a prayer life, being a prayer warrior, a person of prayer. If that is going to be us, it is going to require effort. There is going to have to be a passion to pray on the inside of us. And if we'll have much success in prayer, it'll require much effort in prayer. The person, any of us that would say we don't have time to pray, we are lying to ourselves. We do and we make time to do what we want to do. We do and we make time to do what we are passionate about doing. Amen. You notice the people that are never late for church, that are always late for church, are never late for work usually. You notice the people that miss church all the time, they never miss church hardly, they miss church all the time, they never miss work hardly. Amen. We know why? Because we do the things we're passionate about doing. We do the things that we want to do, and those are the things that they want to do. Those are what they're passionate about. And the same is true for us with prayer. If we are passionate about prayer, if we see the need in prayer, then we will have to put forth the effort. It's going to require effort. Brother James Ruckman, we were talking about another missionary while he was here and some of the issues that this guy and his family had been having about getting to the field and how this particular missionary was just about ready to give up. And he said, he told him, he said, brother, he said, listen, success swings on the hinges of adversity. Success swings on the hinges of adversity. Nothing positive or good or eternal has ever been accomplished in our life without great adversity to overcome. And prayer is no different, friend. It will require effort and it will require sacrifice, but there will be a passion for praying. See, prayer is like anything else. If we put in little effort, we'll see little results. But if we put in big effort, I believe we will see big results. James chapter 5, verse 16, he said, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So he didn't just say the prayer of a man. The simple prayer of a man, that's not what he said. He said the effectual, fervent prayer. The effectual, that phrase, effectual, fervent, carries the idea of heating something up, like a piece of metal becoming red hot with energy and heat. And so it's red, it's glowing hot. That is effectual and fervent. In other words, that goes beyond just saying our prayers and running down a prayer list. That gets into actually praying our prayers, grabbing hold of the horns of the altar and not letting go until we pray through and hear from God and speak to God and get with God. Amen. The old timers, that was a phrase that was used pretty common, talking about praying through. And it's not a Bible term, but the principle is certainly there. I mean, you get down and you start praying, and immediately your mind starts thinking about all the 100 things that's got to be done right then. They don't really have to be done right then because they've been undone for months. But in that moment, your mind will make you think it's got to be done right then. Amen? So you pray, and if you give in, you'll run through it real quick and get up so you can go do all the things that you supposedly need to do. But if you can grab hold of the horns of the altar and really pray your prayers and pray through and untangle your mind and pray through all that stuff, boy, you can get a breakthrough and you can talk with God and commune with God and hear from God. So it's not just the prayer of a man, it's the effectual, fervent prayer. But then it's not the effectual, fervent prayer of a man either. It's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. That's a clean life, living right, nothing between us and the Lord. And the Bible says that kind of prayer is of much avail. It accomplishes much, and it does much. What about the priority of praying? Not just the person praying and the passion in praying, but the priority of praying we see here. It says he rising up a great while before day. See, Christ wanted to pray early in the morning. He wanted to get up before anything was going on. Now, I don't think you have to pray in the morning. You don't have to pray early in the morning, before the sun's up, or before anybody else in your house is there. You can pray at the end of the day, or even any other time of the day. Matter of fact, we should always be in an attitude of prayer, a spirit of prayer, communing with God. And so you can pray at the end of the day or any other time of the day, but I just think early in the morning is the best time to pray. Early in the morning is whenever you're the most fresh. Early in the morning is when things are the most quiet. For Brother Ryan, if it's early enough, it's before Kelby's gotten up. And that's when it's really the most quiet. Right, Brother Ryan? But in all seriousness, though, that's when it's quiet. That's when things are fresh. That's when your mind is sharpest. That's whenever your thoughts and your mind and your heart is not clouded by the cares and the concerns and all the circumstances and things that have come into your life throughout the day and the things that have taken place throughout the day. That's whenever you're not carrying those burdens of the day. That's when you're not as tired as what you are in an afternoon service after you've just ate a big lunch and your mind is sharp. That's when it's best to pray is early in the morning. That's when Jesus got up to pray. So now what we see in this passage when Jesus gets up early, we see his priority in prayer, where he's not going to let anything get in the way of his prayer life. You know, what tends to happen is if we don't get up and we don't pray first thing in the morning, something always gets in the way. There's always some need. There's always something that's got to be taken care of. There's always some busy work. There's always something that draws us away from the prayer closet. And I said earlier that we can pray all throughout the day, and we should be in a spirit of prayer all throughout the day. But what we really need is a place to pray. You can pray anywhere and always, but we all have to have a closet of prayer. See, we need to start our days. We need to start our every project. We need to start every trip. We need to start work. We need to start everything that we do with prayer. And if we don't pray early in the morning, something always gets in the way of that. Now, in the evening, our minds are clouded by the events of the day. If you've got small children like I have, your minds are really clouded by everything that's going on throughout the day. And so early in the morning, it shows priority in prayer. I have found this. I found two things to be true in my life. If I go to bed at night and I pray and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, wake me up early enough in the morning so that I can pray. Without fail, the Holy Spirit, whether I set an alarm or don't set an alarm, without fail, the Holy Spirit will always wake me up early enough to pray. Always. The second thing I have found is that in those early morning hours, whenever I'm up reading and praying, nothing ever gets in the way during that time. The kids are never up. Hannah's never stirring and asking me to do something. There's never anything else going on. Nothing ever gets in the way when it's those early morning hours. And so what we see in that is a priority in prayer. And then last of all, notice the place for praying. The Bible says he departed into a solitary place. Not just anywhere. Not just any place, but a solitary place. Now, just like the mornings, we can pray in any place. We can pray anywhere. That's just like whenever you're in a church service and the Lord has spoke to your heart and you know, the preacher's preached a message or whatever, and God spoke to your heart and dealt with you about something. You can pray and you can do business with God where you're at in that pew. You can do that. But I think we all know that it's just better to come down to an altar and do business with God. It's just better. It shows faith. And it shows a willingness to do business no matter, you know, who's looking or whatever. It's just better. And prayer is the same way. You can pray anywhere. You can do business with God anywhere. But when it comes to praying, we need to have a solitary place. A private place is best. It's best. Now, Jesus said just a few chapters later, back in Matthew chapter 6, He said, "When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." You know what every one of us needs? Every single one of us. You know what we need? We need a place to engage in daily prayer. You know, you look all through the Word of God, you will find men of God that God really used, and they had a place. Mind always goes back to Genesis chapter 19. And I was reading through there one time, and it just stuck out to me whenever I read about Abraham. The Bible says in chapter 19, verse 27, "And Abraham got up early in the morning." So again, he's up early in the morning. "He got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord." And I never got away from that. The Bible says he got up early in the morning, but the Bible says he had the place. It didn't say he got up early in the morning to a place where he would stand before. It said the place. In other words, it was the place, day after day, week after week, year after year. It was the place. If you were to ask, you know, where Abraham was, ask anybody where Abraham would be that early in the morning, it was commonly known, evidently, that he would be in this certain place. He had a place. And I tell you what we need. We need a secret place. A place where we can steal away with God and pray and steal away from the world and get alone with God early in the morning or at times throughout the day. We need a place, a solitary place where we can get alone and we can pray. What you will find without fail in the lives of men and women of God that have been greatly used of God from today back down through time, all the way back through the Scriptures, you will always find that they were people of prayer. And being people of prayer, they were people that had a place. I mean, how many times have we heard the testimony of preachers and men who traveled with men like Sammy Allen and men like Stennett Ballou, and they all give almost the same testimony? When they stayed in a hotel with them, or they stayed in a place with them, Brother Sammy would get up 4:30 every morning, and they'd hear him shuffle into the bathroom. And he'd get in the bathroom, and he'd turn the light on, and he'd shut the door and just leave it cracked. And at 4:30 in the morning, they'd hear him in the bathroom, and he'd start praying. Now, you and me, I look at men like Sammy Allen. I saw your brother Ricky Burnett here a while back talking about traveling with Brother Ballou. And just all the praying, the routine of praying that Brother Ballou would go through. And all these different men that have just been greatly used of God, they've all been men of prayer. But you know, someone like me, I look at that and I think, man, I could never pray like that. I can never pray like Sammy Allen. You know, I read about men like praying John Hyde. I remember Brother Gravely talking about whenever he preached that message, talking about reading about John Hyde and how he prayed and how when he got done reading about his prayer life, he just sat there and he thought to himself, man, there's no way I could ever pray like that. And he said the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart. And he said, I've never called you to pray like that. If you look at all these men and women, you look at all these great heroes of the faith, and you say, well, I could never pray like that. I want you to know God's never called you to pray like that. God's never called me to pray like that. God's never called me or you to be Sammy Allen. One thing that He has shown us in these people is that men of God and women of God aren't just dead and gone in the Bible. They're not years ago. You and me, we can be men and women of God today. We can have this in modern time. But God never called us to be them or to pray like them. The Holy Spirit and God is calling us to pray the way He calls us to pray. The way He deals with us to pray. You know who you ought to pray for? You ought to pray for everybody that the Holy Spirit puts on your heart to pray for. And the Holy Spirit's not going to put everybody on your heart to pray for. We can't pray for everybody in the world. We can't pray for every need. But we can pray for everyone that the Holy Spirit puts on our heart to pray for. Amen? And you know what usually will happen? What will happen is the Holy Spirit will put certain people on my heart to pray for, and put certain people on Brother Ernest's heart to pray for, and certain people on Brother Carl's heart to pray for, and certain people on Brother Ryan's heart to pray for, and everybody here. He'll put certain people on our hearts to pray for, and they'll all be different people, but if we'll all pray for the people that the Holy Spirit puts on our heart to pray for, everybody will get prayed for. Amen. Everybody will be prayed for. So you need to, you know who you need to pray for? You need to pray for all the people God puts on your heart to pray for. You know when you need to pray? You need to pray when the Holy Spirit tells you you need to pray. I believe the principle by the Word of God is praying early in the morning. But some people get up so early for work, I mean, it's not practical. It's not possible. Some people have schedules and things where it doesn't work out. And I'm telling you, it's going to require effort regardless. Now, if you look at it and you say, well, it's going to require effort, so I don't need to do it, then you're looking at it wrong, because it's going to require effort no matter what. But if the Holy Spirit deals with your heart and convicts you and you say, I really need to get a prayer life. I really need to get serious about my prayer life. You know when you need to pray? You need to start praying when the Holy Spirit tells you you need to start praying. If He says through this message, you need to start getting up early and praying. You know when you need to pray? Early in the morning. You know where you need to pray? You need to pray at the place God puts in your heart to pray. You need to find you a solitary place. Ask the Lord to reveal to you, Lord, give me a place. And I'll tell you what He'll do. He'll give you a place. It'll always require, it won't be without effort. It won't be without sacrifice, but the Holy Spirit will direct you in praying. I say what we see right here in this passage, we see a man of God, the greatest man of God, greatest preacher that ever lived. But the first thing we ever see him doing in his ministry is praying. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we all know what it says. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. He said, if you'll do all those things, and if you'll pray. Of course, he goes on to say, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. You know what I think we need more than ever in this day? I think we need a prayer life. We need a people, God's people, that don't just come to church and pray and don't just have prayer meetings and don't just have 24-hour round-the-clock prayer meetings. All those things are fine and good. But you know what we really need? We need people that are abled in prayer. They don't need a church and they don't need a pastor to organize a prayer meeting in their life. They just need to get alone with God and they know how to pray. They can get a hold of God and pray. You know when the worst time to try to figure out this thing of praying is? Is whenever you're in a valley or you're in a dark place or you're in a trial. That is not the time you want to figure out praying and learn how to get a hold of God. I heard a preacher say here a while back, I'm going to give you this and I'm done. But I heard a preacher say a while back that what you need to do is you need to get a burden or get something that goes on in your life or have some prayer that you need answer. He said you need to get one or two of those that you don't tell anybody about. You don't tell anybody about it. You don't request prayer at church. You don't put it on everybody's prayer list. You don't put it out on Facebook and tell everybody about it and get everybody praying. He said you need to get a few of those that you don't tell anybody about except for God. He said that way when God answers that prayer, you'll know He hears you too. I thank God for men and women who are able in prayer that when I need somebody to pray, I've got people that I know will pray for me and do pray for me. But I tell you, nothing takes the place of knowing that I can get a hold of God. Nothing takes the place than knowing that I can hear from God too and He hears me and He answers my prayers. Nothing will ever take the place of that. But you know how you find that out? You find that out by having a prayer life. Elijah took Elisha across the Jordan into the wilderness before the Lord took him up in the whirlwind. And I believe the reason that he did that, when he took him out of the promised land, across Jordan, out in the wilderness, to a barren land, and when he was taken up in the whirlwind, he took up his mantle, and then Elisha went back across Jordan, back into the promised land again. I believe the reason he did that, I heard a preacher say this, and I think it's true, Elisha had to make his own crossing. He couldn't go in on Elijah's miracles and Elijah's coattail. He had to make his own crossing in Jordan. He took up that mantle, he went up to Jordan, and he called on God, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he broke the waters, and he went across on dry ground and made his own crossing. And you know what? We all need to do the same thing. There's so many great testimonies of things that we've heard of God doing and heard of answered prayers and heard of people's prayer lives. You know what we need to do? We need some people that make their own crossing. Where we don't just go off the prayers of the Sammy Allens and the Stennett Blues of the world, but we ourselves take up the mantle and we say, where is the Lord God of all these men? And we make our own crossing and God hears from us. We need a prayer life. Amen. May God help us with our prayer life. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace and I thank You for helping us with the message. Thank You for the day. Thank You for all that You've done for us and in us. And Lord, I pray that You would help us all, Lord, to be a church, Lord, of people that pray. Help us all, Lord, to be committed in our prayer and Lord, to have the priority of prayer in our life and the passion for prayer. Help us, Lord, to be willing to make the sacrifice and Lord, make the commitment. Put in the effort to prayer that we might hear from You and see You do great and marvelous things in our sight in these days. Lord, I want to say I love You and I thank You for the day. Thank You for how You've blessed us and Lord, giving us the gift of this day where we can come and Lord, celebrate the independence of our country together. But more than that, Lord, we can assemble together and we can worship and praise You. And I thank You so much for it. I pray that You'd bless us now as we leave this place, go our separate ways. I pray that You would use us in a mighty way in this week, and we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen.